I'll leave myself behind and follow you. I'll walk the narrow road, 'cause it leads me to you. I'll fall, but grace will pick me up again, yeah.
Well, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Christ Church, man. How about our worship team again? Weren't they great this morning, man? Man, I love those guys. Hey, and let me give a big shout out to the team that gets overlooked in here all the time, our media and production team. I tell you what, those guys are amazing. They make all of us look and sound good, and just I'm just so impressed. I mean, last week they just tore everything down, both campuses, rebuilt a new set, them and their volunteer teams, and it's just amazing how at $200 they can take and tear everything down and make it look great. And so my big kudos to these guys. They just are awesome. You know what? School's back. Football is back. That's right, man. How about our Jags? We got a victory the other night. Yeah. I know it's preseason, but anytime we beat the Steelers is a good thing, all right? So school's back, football's back, and if you're like me, boy, your schedule is already beginning to get packed. And so I thought it'd be a really good idea for us to just hit pause and focus on what God says, what the Bible says is most important in life before fall just throws all this stuff at us. And I don't know if you've ever been where I've been before, but a couple weeks ago, Ann sent me to the grocery store to pick up one item. And I was supposed to go and pick up paper towels, is what I was supposed to do. And so I found myself on the paper towel aisle, paralyzed by the choices in front of me. Because I didn't realize there were so many choices when it comes to paper towels. Man, there's one ply, there's two ply, there's a regular roll, there's a full roll, there's a single roll, and then there's like all these other types of rolls, and then there's a quicker picker-upper, the not-so-quicker picker-upper, name brand generic, you name it, there's all kinds of different paper towels. And so I'm standing there, paralyzed by this decision, and I got two questions running through my mind. Number one, what does Ann want? Because that is the most important question that I've got to answer. And then number two, which ones are the cheapest, right? And isn't that how the world is? I mean, just choices after choices are just coming at us. Now, who in here likes salsa? Anybody here like salsa? A lot of us like salsa. Who in here are you weird people who like really hot salsa? Some of you, yeah, I know the type, huh? I mean, you're the ones like, man, this is so good. It's so good. It's not even hot. The reason why? It's burnt your taste buds off, all right? And you're always the ones that come to me and say, hey, you got to try this salsa. It's so good. I'm like, is it hot? And you're like, no. And you're like dripping sweat, all right? I mean, I'm a black bean and corn salsa guy. That's my salsa. But here, it's the deal. At the grocery store, there are 83 different kinds of salsas to choose from. 83. Salad dressing. 193 different types of salad dressings. And so if you choose one, that means you are turning down 192 other choices. And isn't that just how life is? I mean, just choice after choice after choice just coming at us at breakneck speeds, and we respond one of two different ways. One, we get paralyzed. And we just stand there like, not knowing what to do. Or life happens, and we just get caught up in life and get caught up in the busyness of life, and we live life without any purpose or meaning. And so I think it was really good for us this time of the year to just hit pause and look at what's most important. Because think about this. If we're able to frame our minds, if we're able to focus our minds around what the Bible says, what God says is most important, just think how that will impact our lives. Because I believe it will set your life up to be a life full of meaning and purpose. I believe it will set your life up to be a life lived without regrets. And I believe it will set your life up to this fall, before things get really busy, to set your priorities straight. And so as we're jumping into the series, this is a great opportunity for you, a gift for all of us in this room, a gift for us as a church to focus on what is most important to God. And so today, I want to look at this powerful and mystical thing called prayer. Now look at prayer. And so if you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to open with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew is the very first book of the New Testament. And while you're opening there, let me tell you, I mean, there's been a lot of prayer going on in our house lately. Tons of prayer going on in our house. Because you see, my oldest son, he now has his learner's permit. All right, lots of prayer going on in our house, all right? And kudos to my wife, because she has been the brave one who takes him out driving, all right? I mean, so every time they leave the house, man, I am tossing prayers up to God. I'm like, God, you know, protect them when they're out driving. Protect the people around them. And Lord, please, please don't let Ann kill him before he gets back here, right? I mean, you understand, trying to teach a teenager to do anything sometimes can be tough. And so tossing a lot of prayers up. And last week was the first time I jumped in the car with both of them. We're running down the street to pick something up, and Eli's in the driver's seat, Ann's in the passenger seat, and I'm in the back seat. And I don't sit in the back seat very often, all right? And so I'm jumping in the back seat with this brand new driver, and he's pulling out of the driveway, going down the racetrack, which it is a racetrack, all right? And by a minute or two into this ride, I am in the fetal position praying as loud as I can, God, just help me survive to get to Publix. That's all I want to do is get to Publix today. A lot of prayers have been tossed up. And we've just been in a busy season. Maybe you have been too, into summer camps, Eli's job, I mean, cross-country practice, football practice, stuff here at church, I mean, all kinds of things, back to school. And so Ann and I have been like two ships passing in the night, you know. We were lucky if we get home, Ann gets home by 9:30 at night. And so a lot of nights, it's just me and the boys or me and one of the boys at home, and they kind of looked at me like, hey, Dad, what's for dinner, you know? I found this the other week, and this is funny. Look at this little image here. And this is what questions we ask mom. Where's my shirt? Can I? Is dinner ready yet? I'm hungry. I can't find my. I'm cold. These are all the questions that we ask mom. But here is the one question that we ask dad. Where's mom? Right? And that is so true, isn't it? It is so true. Dads, you know this, all right? They don't care where you're at. They just want to know, where's mom? And so we had a lot of those where's mom moments the last couple of weeks. And I'm just like, hey. Then for yourself, you know? I mean, there's a pantry, there's a refrigerator, go for it, and let's just toss up our prayers and hope that mom makes it home, all right? And so we've been praying a lot in our house. You know, studies show on prayer that 90% of people say they pray on a very regular basis. 75% of people pray every single day. And so what does that mean? That means more people pray than actually go to work. More people pray than drive a car. More people pray than work out. But so many of us look at prayer as a last line of defense, don't we? Man, we only pray when things go bad, when things go south, when things aren't working out like we think they should. We pray when we're vulnerable. I mean, perfect example of that is on an airplane, right? I mean, you know what it's like when that plane starts taxiing down the runway, all right? When she's doing this and this and this, and they put the seatbelt on, lights go out, man, people's heads go down, they start praying, God, make this plane fly safely from point A to point B. You know, people are crossing. I mean, they're doing everything. They're praying for that safety of the plane when it's about to land. Same thing. They're praying for the safety of that plane. And man, heaven help us, if we hit turbulence, boy, a full-on prayer meeting happens on a plane, doesn't it? You just pass the plate, church is happening if you hit turbulence. And how about in school, man? Kids, you know it. When a test hits your desk, what do you do? Pray. Pray. I mean, here's the deal. I don't think prayer will ever be out of school as long as there's tests in school, all right? So you don't have to worry. There'll always be prayer in school. But here's the deal with prayer. So many of our prayers are self-oriented, aren't they? A lot of our prayers are just about me, about us, about what I want. And boy, I remember some of my earliest prayers. I remember being a little kid growing up in Indiana. I'd look out the window at night and I'd see it about to snow. And I'd go to God and say, God, would you just open the heavens and allow your snow to come forth so I do not have to go to school tomorrow, you know? And I'd pray those prayers and get a little bit older, you know? You see a guy or a girl you like, you're like, God, help her to recognize me, or help her to notice me, or help him to notice me, or whatever it might be. Our prayers a lot of times are self-oriented. Because so many times we see prayer as this last-ditch effort, as the last line of defense. But here's what I want you to see today, that prayer can be your first line of offense in your life. You see, when you engage God in prayer, you are unlocking the power of God in your life. You're enabling God's power to be active in your life. When you engage God in prayer, you're giving him a chance to work on you and to grow you up and mold you into that creation that he wants you to be. And when you engage God in prayer, you will allow him to create those wow moments. Those wow moments in your life. And so if you're here today and you're a brand new believer and you're just beginning your journey, and I want you to hear the words of Jesus today, because they will help you grow into the creation that he wants you to be. And if you're here today and you've been a believer for a while, and maybe you've been around here for a while, but you've not had a lot of wow moments recently, I just want to encourage you and challenge you to re-engage in prayer, because maybe you've been going through life and you've been like, I haven't seen God do a whole lot of things. I haven't really seen him show up and go, I'm going to go, wow, recently. Well, you re-engage him in prayer, because when you re-engage him in prayer, when you're devoted to him in prayer, man, he shows up in your life and he does incredible, amazing things. I mean, let me just give you a quick example. I mean, I signed up like a lot of you guys did to be a good neighbor. And one of the challenges we put out there for being a good neighbor is to pray for your neighbors. And so I've been praying for opportunities to have spiritual discussions with my neighbors. That's what I've been praying. And on Friday, we were going to go somewhere. I said, I'm going to go out, check the mail. I'm going to go out and get the recycling, you know, trash can and bring it in. So I walked out and kind of hanging out front, taking my time. And one of my neighbors saw me out front and came. I think he was waiting for me out there. And he's like, hey, Jason, can we chat for a minute? I said, sure. And so there I am, holding my recycling trash can and my mail. And he's like, hey, something's been going on. Someone sent me this email and had this verse in it. Boy, and it just hit me square between the eyes. I mean, what does that mean? And so there I am, standing in the street, having a spiritual conversation with one of my neighbors. And we talked, and it was great, and we're going to get back together again and talk more about it. But I walked away from that moment going, wow. Wow, God. Man, thanks for showing up. Because that was not a coincidence. That was a divine appointment. And I had a chance and opportunity to see God work and see God move. And I stepped back and I just said, wow. God, you're awesome. You're amazing. And so if you're not feeling those wow moments in life, then I'm going to challenge you just to re-engage him in prayer. Devote yourself to him in prayer so you can see in your life the things around you, it's not a coincidence that God has got a divine plan that he's working out for you. And so I believe today's going to be for everybody. So let's jump in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. So we're going to look at what Jesus says about prayer. And listen, Jesus didn't just talk about prayer. Jesus lived a prayerful life. 38 times in the Gospels, it says that Jesus went to pray. Jesus prayed all the time. He prayed for people before he worked a miracle. He prayed before big events. He prayed for his disciples to be safe and to be protected. Many times it says that Jesus withdrew to a quiet place to pray. Well, listen to this teaching that Jesus has. Matthew 7, verse 7, what he says about prayer. He says, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. Now, have you ever felt like in different seasons of your life that doors were just closed? I mean, the work doors were closed. Relationship doors were closed. You keep trying to pursue a dream. You keep trying to get something done. You keep trying to move forward, but it just seems like door after door after door is getting slammed in your face. Maybe you're a salesman. And you're trying to close the deal, but it just seems like, bam, the door just keeps getting slammed in your face. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? Well, Jesus says, here's what you've got to do. When it comes to prayers, you keep praying, you keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking, and God himself will answer the door. Well, Jesus continues in verse 8. He says this, for everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. I mean, you've got to realize in your life that just because the door is closed in your life today does not mean it will be closed in the future. Just because today you don't know how to walk through the door doesn't mean that God is not going to open that door for you in the future. So what do? You keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking, you keep praying, you keep trusting, you keep believing that God is going to move and work in your life. That's what you do. And so if you're there, hold on. But I've also noticed so many times in our lives that what we want, what we think we want, sometimes we don't really need, right? Sometimes it's not what we really need in our lives. Maybe you're like, God, I really need this. God, open this door for me. Maybe it's a relationship. Like, man, I really like this girl. I really like this guy. And I really like to be in a relationship with them. And all of a sudden, you don't realize that you're not good for each other. You're like oil and water. And that if you shove through that door, it's going to be like Nightmare on Elm Street, all right? And so it's not what you really need in your life. And so what do? We keep knocking, we keep seeking, we keep praying, we keep waiting for God himself to answer the door. And he will. And so Jesus challenges us that when we pray, we need to pray expectantly. We've got to pray expectantly. We've got to trust that we're praying to a God who is aware and listening to our prayers. And boy, listening is such a missing skill in our culture today, isn't it? I mean, I don't know if this has ever happened to you. Maybe it's just me, you know, and I'll be sitting around talking, and I'll be on my phone. And maybe this doesn't happen to you. Maybe it's just my family. But I'll be on my phone. I'm sitting there, you know, doing all these important things, you know, thumbing through all these important things, you know, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you know, all these important things. And Anna'll sit there, and she'll be talking to me, and I'm like, yeah, uh-huh, yeah, I agree. That's right. I mean, whatever you say, honey. Yeah, I agree. And then she'll say something, and she'll look at me. She goes, stop. You didn't even hear what I said to you. I'll be like, okay, recall in my mind. I'm trying to recall the last couple words that she might have said to me. I'm like, oh, yeah, you said you wanted me to pick the kids up after school. And she's like, oh, I hate when you do that, you know? And I'm sitting there like, all right. And I just go back to going through and thumbing through and taking care of, you know, all the important things in life. I don't know if that ever happens to you. It happens in our house. Listening skills are not always there. And maybe this doesn't happen to you either, but Ann and I, we have our dates day. It's on Friday morning. You know, we go to breakfast together for our date. You know, you're like, ooh, you know, Mr. Romantic you are. Well, Friday's my day off, and we get the kids to school, and we'll go hang out, have breakfast together, and spend some time together in the morning. That's our date time. And I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but we sit down at the table a lot of times. We'll be sitting there, and we'll both be on our phones. Right? You know what I'm talking about. Everyone's sitting around the table, and everyone's on their phone. And so we finally had to say, you know what? We're just going to create a rule that we just leave the phones down. So we're talking to each other. We're not distracted. We can listen to what each other says. And so we'll just keep it down. But then there's always this unwritten rule, all right? And the unwritten rule is this. If one person picks up the phone, then the other person can pick up the phone. That's the unwritten rule. And so Ann will go and she'll pick up the phone and she'll pick up her phone and she'll be checking on something. I'll see her pick up the phone and I'll go pick up my phone. Like, hey, you know, and she'll be like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, you picked your phone up. I can pick up my phone, right? Now, where was I going with this? Hold on a second. Oh, yeah, I have a point here. Okay. I promise. I've done this two other times. I got it. Here's the point, all right? Sometimes we see God as this individual that we're just trying to get his attention, right? We see God as an individual, we're trying to get his attention. We see God as this big guy in the sky, and he's checking his social media, and he's liking our pictures on Instagram, and he's retweeting our thoughts, and we're just trying to say, hey, God, notice me. Hey, God, I'm here. Do you see me? I'm praying. I'm going to church. A little help here. I mean, open the door here. I need you. And so we get in this habit, we get in this mindset of we go to church, we carry a big old Bible with us to church, and we join a group and we serve and we do good things because we're trying to get his attention. But listen, you don't have to worry about getting God's attention. You already have God's attention. I mean, God loves you. God cares about you. And so when you're offering your prayers to God, just know he loves you. He's paying attention, and you don't have to work to get his attention. And so we got to pray expectantly. But also when we pray, we got to ask and ask and ask and ask. In fact, you actually translate what it says here in the scripture. It says this is a continual thing, that it's a persistent thing. You don't stop asking. You don't stop seeking. You don't stop knocking. No, well, you say, I ask, and you keep asking. You keep seeking, and you keep knocking. In fact, Jesus tells two incredible stories about persistence and prayer. He tells a story about this crooked judge and this insensitive neighbor, and they've got people in their lives who they keep coming to them asking them for something, and they keep sending them away saying no. But the people, they just keep coming back time and time and time and time again, and finally they wear them down, and finally they say yes. Both the insensitive neighbor and the crooked judge both give them what they're asking for. And so based on those two stories, and based on what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 7, I think God is giving you and I permission to nag him. That's what he's saying. He's saying, when you come to me, you can ask and ask and ask and keep asking and keep asking and keep asking. You're like, really, God? I mean, because parents, you know how annoying it is when your kids ask and ask and ask, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but man, my kids lately, in the last couple of months, they've been really into Taco Tuesday over at Tijuana Flats. All right, they love the Taco Tuesday. About midday on Tuesday, I start getting text messages. Hey, Dad, we going to Taco Tuesday? I'm like, man, just, you know, I put it down. An hour later, I get another text message. Hey, Dad, we're going to Taco Tuesday. I'm like, wait till I get home. You know, about 5 o'clock, I'm getting phone calls. Dad, when you coming home? It's Taco Tuesday. You know, we got to get to you. It's Taco Tuesday now. You got to get. I'm like, I'll be home in a little bit. Walk in the door, it's like, Dad, Taco Tuesday, Taco Tuesday, Taco Tuesday, Dad, Taco Tuesday. I'm like, hold on, let me talk to your mom. I'm like, what do you, oh, they want to go to Taco Tuesday. I'm like, well, let me sit down a minute. You know, I'll sit on the couch. And we got these doorways where no doors. And the kids will, I'll be sitting on the couch. And I'll look up and they'll walk through and they'll go, Taco Tuesday. You know, in the kitchen counter, like one will go pop. I'll go, Taco. The other one will go, Tuesday. You know, then they get a little smarter, don't they, parents? I mean, this is what my kids do. I mean, they'll come and sit down on the couch and go, Dad, I know you're tired. I know you got a lot on your mind. I know mom doesn't want to cook tonight. So how about Taco Tuesday? or you know what, I know you got some errands to run. Let's go run your errands. And on the way home, which is real convenient, we can just swing through and have Taco Tuesday, right? And so finally, you just go, you know what, enough. If I don't have to hear about Taco Tuesday ever again, then yes, let's go to Taco Tuesday. And they'll say, okay, you won't hear about it until next Tuesday, right? And I think God is basically telling us, giving us permission that if we ask, keep asking, seek, keep seeking, knock, keep knocking. I think he is giving you and I permission to go, hey, God, Taco Tuesday. You know, God, here's what's going on in my life. Here's what I'm dealing with, and I need you. So show up, God. And listen, just because you pray for something doesn't mean you're going to get exactly what you're praying for, all right? I mean, God doesn't work that way. I mean, I've learned this lesson over many years of my life that when I come to God in consistent prayer and regular prayer and I bring something to him, sometimes he does move in that situation, but so many times what he does is change my heart. I mean, sometimes our prayers change. Sometimes what you think you want, you don't really want. And I love what Bill Hybels said about this. He put this great little formula together. I want to share this formula with you. It's in your outline, so fill in your outlines with this because this is just like such good stuff. He simply said this: if your request to God is wrong, God says no. If your timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. And if the request is right and the timing is right and you are right, God says go. Well, that's good stuff. Because here's the deal, if God would have answered all my prayers the way that I want him to answer, it would have snowed every day, I never would have went to school, and the Bulldogs would have been national champions every single year, all right? I mean, that's the deal. But God doesn't answer our prayers. God doesn't always show up and work the way we think he should work. There's a mystery here. There's this faith element here. There's this trust element here. But through it all, just know that you can pray about anything. There is nothing too small to put on the table before God. And there's this great story in 2 Kings chapter 6 about this. There's this guy, and he's out chopping wood. He's got an axe, and he's out there chopping wood. As he goes back one time to chop wood, the axe head flies off, goes into the water, and sinks to the bottom of the water. And this guy is distraught. I mean, I'm like, it's an axe head, dude. Let it go, you know? But he is distraught because evidently this is somebody else's axe head. And so now he's got to replace this entire axe. And I'm just like, no big deal. But he happens to have the prophet Elisha standing right next to him. And so he's like, guys, let's pray. Elisha, let's pray about this. And from a 10,000-foot view, I'm looking at it going, dude, man, let it go. You know, that's a little weird. I mean, just jump in your chair, go to Jerusalem Lowe's, pick up another one, man. You don't need to spiritualize this thing, but he does. And they pray about it. And the Bible says they tossed a stick in the water. And then the literal translation of this, it says that the axe head swam to the surface. It floated to the surface, and they were able to retrieve it. God answered their prayers. And what I love about this story is there are two guys in this relationship with the creator of the universe, and they bring this need of an axe head to God. I mean, it just shows that whatever is significant to your heart is significant to God. There is nothing too small that you can't bring to God. Nothing that's off the table. I mean, how many of us have lost our keys before? You've done this with me probably. I mean, I lost my keys, and you can't find them, and you're in a hurry, you gotta get something done, and then you go, God, help me find my keys. And then maybe you, like me, you feel guilty about that prayer, go, God, I'm gonna take that prayer back, because I wanna save that prayer for another one. If you're gonna answer something, I'm gonna save it for another prayer, I'll find my keys, right? I mean, nothing's too small to bring to God. I mean, maybe you've lost your phone before. I know the panic that ensues when people lose their phones, right? Do you know that's becoming like the top 10 fears in our country, is losing your cell phone? It's unbelievable, and you can go to God and say, God, hey, help me find my phone. A couple weeks ago, I lost my glasses, couldn't find them. Saturday evening's come along, service is about to start, I am freaking out. I'm going, man, I can't see anything. I gotta be able to read, I can't see anything. I'll be closing one eye and looking through my one good eye like a pirate. I'm like, I gotta find my glasses, God. I mean, I'm praying and praying and praying, and I can't find them anywhere. I go after church to Rosie's where I had lunch the day before and check if they're there. Now I'm praying over and over. I do not find them until I go finally and look at my glasses case. You know, what a thought to look there, right? But here's the deal. Because of this story we see in 2 Kings 6, because they prayed for an axe head, I mean, what we see here is that nothing's off the table with God. You can pray about your car keys. You can pray about your cell phone. You can pray about your glasses. You can pray about your friends, your neighbors, your kids, your classmates, your family, your spouses. And God is going to move in little ways and big ways in those prayers because God cares about you and he's active and involved in our lives. And so we have to pray expectantly, knowing that he's going to show up and he is going to respond. Now, a lot of people ask me, well, then Jason, I mean, how do we pray? I mean, and there's so many things that I can tell you about this, so many ways I can tell you about this, but here's the thing that you need to hear, and he agrees, and here's the thing that you need to understand, all right? Thanks, big guy. You gotta love when that happens, right? Here's the deal, all right? I mean, when we pray, and he says you should pray, all right, so you hear this now. I mean, the best way to start to pray is to just do it. I mean, I can tell you all kinds of things, but the best way to learn to pray is to just pray. And so if you don't have a regular prayer time, I just want to challenge you this week, start 5 minutes. I mean, 5 simple minutes. You have 24 hours, 7 days a week. Carve out 5 minutes to pray. And that might mean in the morning when you wake up. That might mean at lunchtime. That might mean before you go to bed. That may mean that you pray in a certain room with the lights out. That might mean you pray on your knees. That might mean you pray when you go for a walk. That might mean you turn the radio off and pray on your way to work. It might mean that you pray with music on. It might pray that you pray verbally. It might pray that you just pray in your mind. God hears your prayers, hears your thoughts. It might mean that you write your prayers down in a journal. It doesn't matter. Just do it. Just pray 5 minutes. Encourage you to do that. Another question people ask me is, Jason, is there certain words that you have to use? Is there certain language? I mean, does the Bible say there are certain things you have to say? Because, Jason, when I pray and I finish my prayers, I always say in the name of the Holy Father, in the name of the Holy Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, amen. And whoosh, and the prayer takes off, right? I mean, that's how it works. I'm like, man, the Bible doesn't say anything about that. The Bible doesn't say there's any special words or phrases we have to use. I mean, whether you say amen or amen does not keep a prayer from taking off and going to heaven, all right? The point is you're connecting with God. You're communing with God. You're talking with God. I mean, that's what he wants. And so I always tell people, simple acrostic to remember when you're praying. Here's a simple way you can remember what to say when you're praying. P-R-A-Y. First off, praise. Say, wow, God. Wow, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for sunrise. Thank you for answering prayers. Thank you for anything going on in my life that is good. Start your prayers, not with God, give me, give me, give me, but God, thank you for who you are and what you're doing. And then R stands for repent. I mean, go to God and say, I'm sorry. I mean, as parents, you know, when your kids come to you and they've been acting up, doing things, and they come and they want something, you're like, why am I gonna give this to you when you can't even do this? God's the same way. The Bible says that before he wants to answer our prayers, he wants to know that we care about times that we walk away from him. And so start your prayers out with some repentance and say, I'm sorry. And then A, ask. Ask, and you can ask him for anything. Nothing's too small, nothing's too big. God's power is enough to handle all of our issues. So A, ask. And Y, yield. Yield. Simply say, God, I know you're gonna answer the prayer any way you want. I'm gonna trust your ways. Your will be done, not my will. P-R-A-Y, pray. And I encourage you to do that. One thing I did this week, and you can do this, it's real simple. It's real simple. This week, I just simply made a screensaver that said pray. Pray. It's just a reminder that I'm supposed to be continually praying throughout the day. I'm supposed to be in the spirit of prayer all day long. It doesn't mean I go hide away in a room, you know, and don't talk. No, it just means as I'm out and about doing things, I'm supposed to be in this continual spirit of prayer. And so I'm out and about this week, and I'm at a restaurant, and I pull my phone up, and I see this. It reminds me. So I pray for the waitress. I pray for the people I'm with. I'm driving in traffic. I see this, and I pray for the person driving really slow in front of me, you know. And I pray for the kids and the crossing guard in front of Loretto, you know. I sit there, and I pray every chance I get. When I see this, it reminds me I'm supposed to be in a continual spirit of prayer. Now, when I get this, and I see this, and I'm around my friends, I don't go, all right, guys, God sent me a message. It's time for me to go pray. So I'm going to go into my prayer closet, into my holy of holies, and I'm going to go meet the holy God. I'll be back, maybe. You know, no, it's just a continual attitude and spirit of prayer throughout the day. Jesus says when you pray, pray expectantly. Pray expectantly. And then he also said, trust God's goodness. Trust God's goodness when you pray. I love what comedian Emo Phillips said. He said, when I was a kid, I used to pray every night for a new bicycle. Then I realized the Lord doesn't work that way. So I stole one and asked him to forgive me. Isn't that great? I love that. But there's this tension. I know there's this tension in prayer between what we're supposed to do and what we believe God is supposed to do. And have you ever known someone trying to find a job, but they don't actually go out and actually try to find a job? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, that person that just kind of sits there on the couch, bag of chips, watching Days of Our Lives, says, you know what? God is going to provide. And just maybe God in a supernatural way is going to drop that job right in their lap. But here's what I can tell you from experience. That from the moment that that begins and that situation begins, if you get out and you work hard, I promise God is going to show up in your life. Because here's the deal. If you're not moving, God can't direct you. You've got to be moving for God to move you to the left or right, go forward or go backwards. And so it's important. And so here's this little thing to remember. Pray like it all depends on God. But work like it all depends on you. And God's going to show up in that. God's going to move in that. But there's this mystery between what God does and what we do when it comes to prayer. But listen to what Jesus says as he continues his teaching on prayer. In verse 9, he says, "You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead?" I mean, can you imagine that? My kid comes to me and says, hey, Dad, can I have a biscuit? Yeah, here's a biscuit. And I toss him a stone and say, hey, don't chip your tooth now, you know? I mean, that'd be rude. It'd be awful. Wouldn't it be a horrible parent? But I love the next one. He says, or if they ask you for a fish, do you give them a snake? Can you imagine that? You know, hey, here's a fish sandwich and a snake pops out. I mean, that's awful. And Jesus goes, of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Now in the parallel verse in Luke, it says this, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so many commentators will say that the Holy Spirit and good gifts are interchangeable. And so God sends his Spirit and all the spiritual blessings that come with that. God is the giver of all good gifts. Everything good in your life has come from God, and he loves us and wants to provide for us. Now, I don't know if you've been watching the miniseries during the summer, the AD, The Story Continues. It's a great, great miniseries. I don't know if you guys, Mark Brunette, Roma Downey, Touched by an Angel. Maybe you remember last year, the Bible, and went up to Jesus and had the big Jesus movie about a year and a half ago. Well, they continued on. They're doing the New Testament, and they're doing, you know, they started with the death of Jesus and the resurrection, but then they're moving into the apostles, and they're moving into Paul and the church beginning. I mean, there are things captured on video that I've never seen before. It's mesmerizing. And I encourage you, if we want more great entertainment, family entertainment like that on TV, then we got to watch stuff like that, or at least put it on DVR so it looks like we watched it, you know? And so I encourage you guys to catch up. And I've been trying to catch up on that. I've been gone most of the summer, so I've been watching these. And it's just been amazing watching what they're depicting on here. And I was really taken by the guy playing Jesus. The guy who played Jesus, his name is Juan Pablo de Pasi, all right? And I don't know about you, but I think it'd be pretty daunting to play Jesus. I mean, how do you audition for that? I mean, seriously, you walk in, oh, I'm Jesus, you know? I mean, how do you do that? And so he was asked in an interview, he was saying, okay, what did you do to prepare to play the part of Jesus? And here is what he said. He said, I left everything for a week. I went out into the wilderness, chucked my phone, chucked technology, and just spent a week with God. Wow. Wow. We look at Jesus and we see his power. We see his humility. We see his compassion. And where did Jesus get all that from? That came from his Father. It came from his Father because he devoted himself to prayer. He devoted himself to go out and get away to quiet places. He literally, the Bible said, would go and spend all night long praying to God so that God can dump his power into Jesus's life. So when Jesus had to face what he had to face, he was ready to handle that situation. And so what do we do? I mean, what's our hope? I mean, how do we live our life? Be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. I know you go, that's daunting, but here's my challenge. Just 5 minutes. Just start 5 minutes a day in prayer. Just 5 minutes. I mean, you don't start a marathon run 26 miles, all right? You start training with about a mile. And so start easy. Start 5 minutes a day. Devote yourself to prayer. Devote yourself to him. Spend time in prayer. Spend time connecting with him, communing with him, because then he is going to dump his power into your life. You're going to access the power of the God of the universe so that you too can handle whatever life throws your way. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss our servers. Get ready for a time of communion. They're doing that as a church. We want to give you several different ways to continue building prayer in your life. First and foremost, we erase the prayer walls. God knows what those prayers are. Don't worry if you wrote some up there. And you guys just can start. You can see people already beginning to add prayers to the wall. Put those back up. Use those. Use those, please. We pray over those every single week. We add stuff to the wall. I mean, we have prayer times on Sunday mornings, 8:30 here at the church. You want to join us for prayer times, you can do that. Second Tuesdays of every month, we have prayer times up here on Tuesday nights. Parents in Prayer meets here. You can be a part of that on Wednesdays. Stuff is in the bulletin about this. I mean, next Sunday after church, we are fanning out over 7 counties. And if you, obviously, Duval County, Clay County, St. John's County, we are definitely focusing our prayers on our schools. There's a battle going on for the hearts of our kids. And so 2 o'clock elementary schools, 3 o'clock middle school, 4 o'clock high schools, wherever you live, whatever closest schools you, whether you have kids or not, we need to be praying for these teachers and praying for the staff, praying for the kids and the families. And then our 6:20 service is coming up here in a couple weeks. September the 11th is when it is. It's a Friday night. It's a little different than what we've done in the past, because this year what we're doing is we're kicking off a brand new huge all-church series coming up that's called Life on Mission. And before we begin that as a church, what we want to make sure that we're doing is our hearts are right with God. We're asking God to intervene and step into us and get our attention during this series. And so we're going to do a 12-hour, yes, I just said that, a 12-hour prayer and praise service. And so we'll be talking more about that coming up. We'll start 6:20 at night and go to 6:20 in the morning, and there will be plenty of coffee, I promise you, all right? And so we'll tell you more about that here shortly. Now, here's the deal. As a parent, there's been a couple times in my life, those memorable moments that you have with your kids, and probably for me, the most memorable moment as a parent I've ever had is when my kids were born. Now, I'll never forget when Eli, our first, was born, and the first is always kind of the ones that break you in, and you definitely remember that. It's that special moment when you have your first child, and Eli decided to come early. He wasn't waiting, so he was about 3 weeks early, 3.5 weeks early, and there's some complications, and so we had to go in and do a C-section. It happened all pretty quick. And the doctor came in and got Ann ready, got him prepped, and came to me, and happened to be a family friend, a guy that had grew up around our family. Dr. Dukes was his name. He was our OBGYN, and just a neat guy, older guy, and he said, "Hey, man, you got to come and be a part of this." I'm like, no, thank you. You know, he's like, no, you're not going to use the scalpel or anything, but come and be a part of this. And I'm like, I'm just going to hold the video camera, man. That's all. I don't want to be on that side of the curtain, that side that she goes, no, you got to be over here. And this is a special moment. And so he talked me into coming back there when they're doing things. And I'll never forget when they pulled Eli out and handed him to me. I mean, I was just like, wow, it's such a special moment. I mean, I experienced a love that I've never experienced before. And it's not like it is in movies, is it? I mean, in movies, the kids come out and they're clean and neat and everything's great and their hair's all done right and they're not yucky and their head's not misshapen, right? Because you know when kids are born, I mean, they've been in that belly for 9 months. They've been duking it out in there. And they come out looking sometimes a little bit rough. They come out looking like Dan Aykroyd, Conehead, you know? And the color that they are, there is no color in the Crayola box for the color of a new baby, right? But it doesn't matter, does it, parents? It doesn't matter whether they have hair or no hair, or their head is funny. When you see your kid, they are the most beautiful thing on the planet. And I'll never forget holding both of my boys in that moment, experiencing this love. And it's a supernatural kind of love. And it's the same love that our Father has for us, for you and for me. That's the love he has. And I love what Jesus said. Jesus says, if you give good gifts as an earthly parent, just imagine the great gifts that your heavenly Father has to give you. Because when he looks at us, he sees us as that beautiful child of his. He doesn't see us as the world sees us and tries to label us. He doesn't see us as we label ourselves. He sees us as that perfect creation, as a father sees a child. And we've talked the last couple of weeks about being reborn, about being a new creation. And that's what happens to us when we come to Jesus. We are reborn. We become a new creation. We get new eyes. We get new ears. We get a new tongue. The Spirit comes within us. And I'm telling you, it's incredible when you lean into the Word of God, how it begins to shape your life. And how when you lean into prayer, how God begins to mold you and shape you into that beautiful child that he had in mind when he knit you in your mother's womb. I'll never forget holding my kids for the very first time and the love that I experienced as a father. And God wants you to experience that same kind of love.